If you would take your Bibles, please, now, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2 is where we'll be looking this morning. We'll start about verse 22, somewhere around there. So if you get your Bibles open, Luke chapter 2. And we'll begin reading verse 22, and we'll read through verse 35. 22 through 35. It says, and when the days of her purification, that's a reference to Mary, the word her, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him, and of course that's Jesus, to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, excuse me, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God and for giving us another opportunity to look into it. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will guide us into the truth and help us to understand and help us to take what we learn and use it in our lives. Don't just let us leave it here at the church house, but instead help us to take it home and apply it to our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus was born, there were many people who claimed to be expecting his arrival. Priests, scribes, other religious leaders claimed to be looking for the signs of the coming Messiah. And the people in general, right? They had been crying out to God to send them someone to deliver them from their oppressors. But when you survey the scriptures, it becomes very clear that most people missed him. And while it's true that that many people physically saw him, the vast majority of them rejected him. The Apostle John puts it this way in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now think about that fact. Jesus created the world, but the people of the world did not recognize him. And even his own nation despised and rejected him. The people who should have been the happiest to see him paid him no attention at all. And really, the rejection of Christ began before he was even born, because we're told that when the time came for Mary to deliver her firstborn son, the promised Messiah, there was no room for him in the inn. And we know for sure that after Jesus' birth, Herod was not thrilled at all with the news of his arrival. And for the majority of people of that time, the birth of Christ was just another day. But thankfully, that was not the case for everyone. The Bible records several positive responses to the birth of Christ. We know his birth was revealed to and celebrated by some faithful shepherds. And later on, his birth was revealed to certain wise men who reveled in the opportunity to bow and worship him. And we're also told that the heavenly hosts assembled at his birth. It says in Luke 2, verses 13 and 14, they praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And we know that approximately 40 days after the Savior was born, that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord. And in the temple, there was a man named Simeon. And unlike the majority of people in those days, Simeon did not miss the arrival of the Savior. As a matter of fact, he had been anticipating that day for some time. Simeon had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would live to see the arrival of the Messiah. And the very morning Mary and Joseph entered the temple, Simeon knew Jesus was the Savior. Now you might ask, well, how could a man see a month-old baby and know that he was in the presence of the promised one? And the answer to that question is simple. He knew it because it was revealed to him. Revealed to him. And by the way, that's the same way that we're able to know that Jesus is the Savior. We know that he is the Christ because it has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to show us who Jesus is and to show us what Jesus has done and to show us our need for a personal relationship with him. Simeon knew he was the Christ because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And we know he's the Christ because it's been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And when Mary and Joseph entered the temple, Simeon took Jesus into his arms and thanked the Father for sending the Savior to the world. And then went on to proclaim what Jesus would do for Jews and Gentiles alike. Look at verses 30 through 32 one more time. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel." Now, we don't know much about Simeon. All we know is that he lived in Jerusalem. We don't know much more than that. We don't know if he was married. We don't know if he had any children. We don't know if he was rich or poor. We don't even know his age. But what we do know about him is important. Scripture tells us that as he lived and worked, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was longing for the coming of the Savior. He was longing for the arrival of the promised Messiah. And this brief record of Simeon's life serves as an example of how we should live our lives. As followers of Christ, we should live in anticipation of his inevitable second coming. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from this unsung hero named Simeon, who has a small part in what we sometimes refer to as the Christmas story. And today I'd like us to consider his story and preach on this thought: looking for the Savior to appear. Looking for the Savior to appear. Or maybe we might call it how to wait for the Lord's appearing. So let's begin by examining, first of all, the preparation of those who are looking for the Savior to appear, the preparation of those who are looking for the Savior to appear. You'll notice in verse 25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon," and it says, "And the same man was just and devout." And then look at the end of the verse where it says, "And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now notice some of the words that are used to describe Simeon. He's called just. That means that he is honest and possesses moral character. He's called devout. The word devout literally means taking hold of what is good. And we're also told that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Simeon was a devout man who loved the Lord with all his heart and mind and soul and strength. And the reality is, we need to be just like him. If we're going to be used of God in these last days, before his second coming, then we must be devoted to Jesus Christ. We need to spend our lives looking for him and living for him and laboring for him. His promised return should be at the forefront of our minds. Simply put, we must be prepared for his arrival because we don't know exactly when he's coming. But I guarantee you this, he is coming. He is coming. He will return. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:52 that he will appear in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And of course, that's a truth that's found all throughout the Bible, right up to the very last verse of the Bible. The last verse of the Bible tells us that he's coming. In fact, he says he's coming quickly. Revelation 22:20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen." And I personally echo John's sentiment as he responds to that by saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Even so come, Lord Jesus. Simeon had looked for this day. For some time, the Lord had some time ago, the Lord had revealed that he would come in his lifetime. And so he had longed for the arrival of the Messiah. And now that promise was fulfilled. He saw the promised one. And I wonder, how about you this morning? Are you prepared for his coming? Because the truth is, he is coming. Jesus himself made us that promise. In John 14:2-3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also." So are you prepared for his coming? Simeon certainly was. He was looking for it. How about you? Are you looking for him? Are you laboring for him? I had a dear preacher friend named Dr. Homer Smith. Dr. Smith was the pastor of the church where Pam and I met. But every time Homer Smith ever sent out a letter, he always ended it with these words. Just before he put his signature on there, he would write, "Laboring in the field, listening for the shout." You know what? That's how you stay prepared. That's how you stay prepared. So we see the preparation of those who are looking for the Savior to appear. But Simeon was more than just prepared. He was longing for the arrival of Jesus. And in verse 25 and 26, he shows us, secondly here, the anticipation of those who are looking for the Savior to appear. In the middle of verse 25, it says, "waiting for the consolation of Israel." And then verse 26, "and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. It's apparent that Simeon had been taught the prophecies concerning the Messiah. And we also read that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would live to see Christ. Christ would be revealed before he died. And so this was a man who lived close to God. Now, I'm not sure how long he waited to see the Messiah. I don't know when it was revealed to him that he would not die before the Messiah came. And there may have even been some days when he questioned if this day would ever come. And I'm sure there were probably many people who scoffed at his devotion and desire to see the promised one. But he was not deterred by doubt or disbelief. This man had a desire to see the Savior. And we should have that same desire. And our desire should not just be to see his physical return or to see him after we draw our last breath. We should also have the desire to commune with the Savior each and every day of our lives right now. We should desire to walk close to him daily right now. And the good news is we have that opportunity. Simeon was looking forward to seeing a deliverer. But we have already been delivered. If we're a believer in Christ, you know, if we are trusting Christ as our Savior, we've already been delivered. And knowing that we know him, we should have a desire to see the Savior move in our lives daily as we live each day in anticipation of his return. And there is a reward for that kind of living. Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, when he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." So are you longing for, are you anticipating the coming of the Lord? So we see the preparation of those who are waiting for the Savior to appear. And then we see the anticipation of those who are waiting for the Savior to appear. But Simeon was also a man who was Spirit-led. And again, the same thing should be true of us. We need to be sensitive and open to the Spirit's leading in our lives as we live in anticipation of his second coming. So as we look at verse 27, the third thing we see is the direction of those who are waiting for the Savior to appear. In verse 27, notice the first word says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." God's Spirit led Simeon on the exact day, at the exact moment, that Mary and Joseph came to the temple. And throughout the Bible, we see how God leads his people to the right place at the right time. Abraham went to the right mountain and found a ram. Noah followed God's direction and was protected from the flood. Elijah went to the brook and was fed by ravens. Paul had a divine appointment in Macedonia. And on it goes. God leads his people. David spoke of it often. Right? David said things like, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He wrote, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And God said to David, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." God leads his people. And God led Simeon to the temple at the right time. You see, if Simeon had not been obedient to the direction of God, he would have missed out on the promise. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But it could have. And it may have even happened to us. I wonder, how many times has the Holy Spirit led us in one direction and we've gone the other way? I wonder how many blessings we've forfeited because we refuse to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. It's so vitally important that we are sensitive and obedient to God's direction. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple to dedicate him, it says, after the custom of the law. And according to the law, at this point, Jesus was at least 40 days old. And the 40-day wait had to deal with the fact that Mary would have been considered ceremonially impure or unclean until this time had elapsed following childbirth. After the time of purification, a sacrifice must be made. That's found in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 6. It says, when the days of her purification are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a sin offering. And as far as Mary and Joseph were concerned, this was the basic purpose for the journey to the temple. But God had other plans going on behind the scenes. Plans that brought about an encounter that changed Simeon's life forever. And in the same way, God led you to the place where you were when he saved your soul. And the result is that the Holy Spirit continues to lead you in the direction you should go. So how does this apply to us? Very simple. Let's be faithful to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit so that he can use us to the fullest extent of his glory as we live in anticipation of his second coming. Now, the next thing I want you to see is that when God's promise became a reality, Simeon was overwhelmed with joy. And look at verse 28, and we're going to consider the consolation of those who are waiting for the Savior to appear. It says, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Simeon lifted his voice in praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had seen the arrival of the consolation of Israel. Simeon truly had something to shout about. Just picture this. He takes the baby Jesus from Mary and lifts him high and praises the Lord, which makes it very apparent that God was in the midst of this situation. Otherwise, Simeon would have died in the temple. Because everyone knows that as a stranger, you don't grab a woman's baby from her hands, right? Snatching a baby from a mother's hands could be dangerous to your health because that mama bear thing kicks in, right? But Mary went right along with this. Why? Because God was in it. God was in it. And when Simeon took the baby Jesus into his arms, he couldn't help but praise the Lord. He had seen, physically seen, the Savior. And get that word physically. I said that on purpose. You see, so far, you and I have only seen him through the eyes of faith. But I guarantee you this, when we see him face to face, we will rejoice and praise him just like Simeon. In 1 John 3:2, the Bible says this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's just one more verse that proclaims that he's coming back. And when he does, we'll see him as he is. Now, we don't know when that'll be. But there's no denying the fact that we're closer today than we were yesterday. When Mary and Joseph entered the temple. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms. And with this act, Simeon was saying, this is my salvation. This is my desire, which made all the difference for Simeon. You see, throughout the life of Jesus, many people saw Jesus, but they did not see him as God's salvation. Many rejected him and refused to see him for who he was, the only begotten Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah, or as he's described here, the Lord's Christ. But Simeon received him. Simeon saw that Jesus would be a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Simeon looked for this day with eyes of faith. And now his faith had become sight. And folks, there are many, many things that we see only by faith. But one day, I guarantee you, one day our faith will become sight. It will become sight. The question is, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Are you looking for him? Are you laboring for him? Are you living in anticipation of his coming? Are you longing for his return? And are you being obedient to the Holy Spirit's leadership as you live in anticipation of his coming? Now, we look at things through the eyes of faith. Titus 2:13 says that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But one day, like Simeon, we will see him face to face. But the sad thing is, there are many who are not prepared for Christ's return. There are many who have never received him as their Savior. And if this is your case this morning, then I warn you that you're lost and headed for an eternity in the lake of fire. And I implore you to turn to Christ for salvation today. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. And look to him and him alone for the forgiveness of your sins and for the wonderful gift of eternal life. And if you have received Christ, if you have trusted in him, you have been born again, then I warn you that being prepared for his return involves more than just being saved. Being prepared means that you're living in such a way that you would not be ashamed if he came back before the close of the hour. In 1 John 2:28, John writes this. He says, now, little children, abide in him. To abide in him means to look for him, to live for him, to love him, to labor for him. So he says, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. At the height of World War II, Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned for taking a stand against Hitler. Yet he continued to urge fellow believers to resist Nazi tyranny. Well, a group of Christians who actually believed that Hitler was the Antichrist and that as a result Jesus would be back any day, somebody from that group asked Bonhoeffer, why do you expose yourself to all this danger? Jesus will return any day and all your work and suffering will be for nothing. And Bonhoeffer replied this way. He said, if Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I will rest from my labor. But today I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it's finished. Well, Jesus left us with the promise that he would return one day. and his return must remain at the forefront of our minds. But although we anticipate his arrival, we're not to just spend our days gazing into the clouds. There's work to be done. Because just like the first time he came, there are many people who are not ready for him. And it's our job to help people realize that Jesus is coming back and warn them that it could be today. And we are to allow the Holy Spirit to use us to show them how to be ready by repenting of their sin and receiving Christ as their Savior. So, like Simeon, let's live our lives looking for the Savior to appear. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the things we see as we consider the example of Simeon. Thank you, Lord, for your Word and the truth that Jesus is coming again. Help us to live our lives in anticipation of that day. We want everybody to clearly see the difference you make in our lives as we live for you. So help us to do that. Help us to be a good witness for you. Help us to tell others, to warn others, to share with them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you know my prayer. If there's anybody in this room or anybody watching by way of the internet that does not know Christ in a personal way, I pray that today they would open up their heart and receive Christ to wash their sins away and to give them everlasting life and a home in heaven. Lord, continue to speak to hearts about their need for a personal relationship with you by faith so that they can be ready when the Lord returns. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.